Do you want to look and feel your best? Yes. Amen. You came to the right place this morning. Makeovers, yes. Spiritual makeover, the most important kind, no doubt. Well, I started taking some collagen, and this is where the sermon comes from, oddly enough, because on the bottle, it says, look and feel your best. It makes a great addition to any water, coffee, smoothies, or other recipes. Take it whenever works best for you, any time of day. So, if I just hand all this out to everyone this morning, any time of day, you're going to look and feel your best. No, I'm not selling it. No meetings to go to, no pyramid schemes or anything like that. Look and feel your best. Wow. Such a promise, right? Where do we have that greater promise of looking and feeling our best? With God. If you feel well spiritually, you're going to feel well physically and emotionally and mentally. Are you not? Yes. We know it starts with spiritual because it's the highest form of all of who we are. We're spiritual beings in human bodies, right? So I'm going to give you a great way for you to look and feel your best all the time. And guess what? You can add it to your day anytime that you like, whatever works best for you. Even when you're drinking your coffee or having a smoothie, you can look and feel your best with these spiritual principles this morning. You ready for that? All right, awesome, good, excellent. We're going to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. I'm going to begin at verse 22. This is right after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea. Ta-da! They made it to the other side. Yay! Victory! All right, don't you love victories in life? Don't you like it when life is going exactly the way you want it to be? Don't you love it when you get through some rough circumstance? Yes, and do we not praise God in that moment? Yes, we do. Verse 22, then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea. The Red Sea is done and over with, is it not? How many of you have come through a Red Sea moment in your life? Been sometimes in captivity, been in some places, right? Yes, right? But you have moved away from that, correct? Okay, good. You guys are doing great this morning. Awesome. I don't know how Facebook's doing, but you guys are doing great. They moved away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. Don't you love Shur? Don't you like certainty? Right? Yes. So they went from out of the Red Sea. It opened miraculously. They walk through on dry land. They get there and they praise God. We made it. And then they go to the desert of Shur. Oh, now life will be perfect going forward, won't it? Sure. Why you have a little skepticism back there? Into the desert. You got that word, right? Oops. There's a clue there. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. All that water at the Red Sea? Nothing in the desert of Shur. 3 days they went without water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter water. Verse 24. I thought it would be another verse. I thought they were going to pray. Oh, sorry. No, verse 24, which none of us ever do once we've crossed over from a great, out of a bad situation into a good one. We never do what these folks did. Aren't you glad you're not them? Then the people complained and turned against Moses. How far, how fast they fall. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. Great pastoral wisdom. Call on God when people are complaining against you. And then the Lord showed him a piece of wood. A piece of wood. What does a piece of wood have anything to do with bitter water? A piece of wood. Now they're going to take bitter water and take a piece of wood and throw it into it. Does that make any sense to anybody here? Unless there's a spiritual principle in there. The water was bitter. Bitterness. People were complaining. Had they changed one bit from the time they were captives in Egypt, getting through the Red Sea, landing in Shur, they were rescued, right? Did their mind and their attitude change one bit? No. These human beings. And what does a piece of wood have anything to do with bitterness? Well, what is bitterness? It actually, in an unconscious term, is called resentment. It's having something inside below the surface where it lives within. These people resented the fact, even God, that God didn't make everything perfect for them, didn't they? See, the water that was there that was bitter often represents the spirituality of a certain people, right? The first thing they did after they come out, instead of praising and changing their mindset and saying, wow, we made it through. I have a new attitude that I'm going to believe and trust in God going forward. And no matter what comes my way, I'm never going to complain again. What were they still complaining about? Probably. What happened to them in Egypt? Remember? Remember Egypt, how bad it was? Now they have bitter water. Why? They have bitterness within them, right? It's called lack of forgiveness, in case you needed to know what it was. Why the piece of wood? Well, we have a piece of wood up here. Oh. Yeah. What does the cross represent? That piece of wood. Forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And to a person who's bitter or embittered because of what life circumstances were, what they had done to them or what they had done to others, sometimes they even can resent themselves so much. It's self-loathing, self-hatred sometimes, right? But that piece of wood, that forgiveness of the cross of Jesus Christ long before he ever was placed upon it, showed the people that piece of wood would bring them forgiveness, mercy, and grace, and that they in turn could give mercy and grace back to God and to Moses, who they were complaining to. Poor Moses. What if they instead said, I'm trusting God to take care of us. He got us out of that bad situation in my past. Were they still living there perhaps, mentally, emotionally? Are you sometimes living in your past of unforgiveness towards yourself or someone else? Don't have to answer out loud. It'd be too much of a shout. But if we take that piece of wood, and let me see what happens with it. What do you think's going to happen with this water? It's going to be sweet. Goes from bitter to sweet. From resentment to forgiveness. See, resentment relives bad things. Love brings forgiveness and sets us free and brings us peace. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. Do you want to be a fountain that's good to drink? Because we are the living water inside of us, right? Some of us from time to time have had bitter things happen to us and we've gotten embittered by them sometimes, have we not? Rightly so. Right? Justified. Right? People do evil things. We should be upset by that, shouldn't we? And then we hold on to it and hold on to it and hold on to it and magnify it and think about it and focus on it. And what do we become? bitter. I don't know that many of us would want to drink of that bitter water, would we? It could happen within your own self, within your own relationships, within a church sometimes, bitterness, lack of forgiveness of things within people can cause bitter water. But you want to be fountains of life, right? Fountains of living water, pure water, clean water, tasty water, fresh water, peaceful water, right? What does that mean you must do for all the people in your life? Throw wood at it. And I don't mean a 2x4 hitting people in the head. I better clarify. The cross of Christ, the cross upon which Jesus died to forgive us all. All of us are guilty. All of us have done things wrong. All of us have a reason not to be forgiven, correct? We don't deserve it, do we? But we get it, don't we? Because God wants to make us better, not bitter, sweeter, at peace. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, I will not make you suffer anything that had been done in Egypt. For I am the Lord who heals you. What was going to heal these people more than being set free from the Egyptians? The heart, right? That's what forgiveness does. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 75 palm trees. There they camped beside the beautiful still waters. How's that for a spiritual lesson? When you leave bitterness behind, when you forgive, you then move on and you start to follow the decrees that God tells us to do, right? To love one another, to forgive anyone who's ever harmed you, right? Anyone? And then you move past bitter Marah into the place of refreshment. And you sit by the waters at peace with your God. And you're healed. You're healed spiritually. You're healed physically. You're healed mentally. You're healed emotionally. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I do know this. For every time I've forgiven someone, I'll just use myself as an example. My back hurts me a lot less. Because there's stuff sometimes back here that I haven't forgiven. There's that some weird kind of connection between forgiving someone of the past, including my own, and then finding wholeness and healing. Or you can, oh, never mind. So let's move on. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. And this is a connection because I'm wanting you to see how powerful forgiveness is. If I haven't got the point across yet, I mean, you're all ready to forgive, right? Everybody? I don't hear everybody saying yes. Okay, I'm moving right along. One day, the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. "We have a problem, my lord," they told him. "This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see. It's so beautiful here. But the water is bad. And the land is unproductive." Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl with salt in it." Oh, he didn't ask for wood. Oh. "Bring me a what? New bowl. Not an old bowl. Not one with old salt in it. I want a new bowl, and I want new salt." You see how there's a new covenant that God has given us? You know how that every time we forgive someone, we start a new way of living going forward? We're not no longer living in the past. If you want to have a brilliant and wonderful future, you cannot live in the past. Because that's not where your future is it? No. New, a new bowl with salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water. See, it went to the spring that supplied the water. It went to the deep root where it was coming from. You see? You getting that? What's inside of us, way, way down deep inside there, at the very root of us, at the very root of us, are some things sometimes that God has to go way down deep inside our heart, our soul, our mind, and get to something that's down there to alleviate that problem and pull that root out. Otherwise, you always have the symptom. Anybody here ever had problems with plumbing? Not personal problems, I mean your house. Okay, had to clarify. It could be related, never know. Anyway, needless to say. Help me, God. Oh. But if your water bill's sky high, right, what's the first thing you check? Toilet. Is it running too much? Next place. Dripping faucet. Yes. Is the sprinkler working? Anybody have a pipe underneath your house that was burst open? Underneath the house, you notice? Underneath it. We sometimes do things in surface ways. We go after the symptoms of things. And we think we know the answers when if I fix this over here in my life, I'll be fine. If I fix this if I could just get that degree, if I could just get that better spouse, if I could just get that better job, if I could find a better church, if I could have a better pastor, if all those things would happen in a better way, then I'll be fine. And still you're leaking spiritually, are you not? Why? Because sometimes there's a gushing underneath us. The waters underneath the surface, the things that are underneath that we haven't forgiven and haven't dug into. And there's methods to do that. One is to pray and say, God, if there's anything in me, get it out of me. But you see what Elisha did? He went to the source of where the water was coming from. He didn't start at the pool where they were trying to draw water, right? He went to the source. And that's where he poured in the salt. And he said, this is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility. God had purified it. How? With salt. What does salt mean in the Bible? It's one of the things that mean peace. When you put peace into something that's bitter, this was bitter waters again, right? You see there's two connections here, why they go together in the scriptures and the story run together. God had to take Elisha and take that salt, the salt of peace. Salt, it was a purifying mineral. When you add salt, it adds flavor, yes, but it also purifies. Do you know that salt can purify manure? I just learned this. It's remarkable. For those of you that have compost, if you really want to get all the yuck out of it, you put in salt, and it won't smell so bad. Just think about it. If you put more peace in your life through forgiveness and love and mercy and grace, your life won't stink so bad. There I am. Right in there. Do you notice in the early part of these scriptures it said that it was pleasant surroundings? Right? We can have all the external beauty around us and inside our mind and our heart and our soul some days. It's dark there, isn't it? All the outside exterior things that all of us can have and be and do have nothing to do with the soul or the heart, do they? And notice that the water being bad, the land was unproductive. If you want your life to be more productive, we started this by saying, do you want to look and feel your best? Yes? Still? You still want to? Even though you have to forgive everybody? Oh, yeah. Not so fast, Pastor. Are you willing to let God dig out from inside of you that place where there's lack of forgiveness? To get to the root, even if it's way, 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 way back in your past. God can help you let go of those hurts. God does it. You notice God did the healing with the cross or the piece of wood with Moses? God did it. You notice that God used Elisha to put salt, to put peace there. Again, does that not still refer back to the cross? Of course. Jesus is our peace, right? How does it happen? Through forgiveness. See, tomorrow, I don't want you to go to tomorrow. Please don't go back to Mara. Oh, now you get it. That was rough. It sounded good when I wrote it down. Do you want to look and feel your best every day? Put more forgiveness in. Put more love in. Put more mercy in. Put more grace in. Put more peace in here, and around you, in relationships, in your job, in your whatever you're doing. The good thing about this is that it gave me a sermon. Everything, even an inanimate object. Now, I don't know if there's any salt in here. I don't know if there's any wood in here. But I do know this. Any time of any day, you can add salt to your life. You can add peace to your life. You can add the cross to your life. You can be reminded of it and remind others that you have been forgiven and that you forgive them. Do you want to move on to good? Do you want good water in your life? And you're going to be like salt. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. Remember? And what good is salt if it becomes unflavorful, meaning you're not peaceful anymore, right? When you become rooted and grounded in Christ, you can't help but become more loving, right? You can't but help become more forgiving, right? You can't help but become more peaceful, right? So if you're having trouble forgiving someone or something in yourself or others, or even God, get rooted more and more in Christ, right? Please don't ruin your pleasant surroundings by bitterness, by resentments. When you begin to drift back to the past, throw some wood on it. Add some salt to it of peace. Make peace with your past. And I want to help you with that today. I was doing some counseling with someone recently, and we talked about forgiveness, and it was quite a battle. I mean, it was quite an interesting phenomenon. But when I asked the question, do you really want peace? Do you really want to be able to sleep at night better? Do you really want to have a sense of joy again and happiness and a sense of just serenity? The person said yes. So as bad as the past was for this specific person, forgiving it, letting it go, stepping through out of that place of imprisonment to through the Red Sea to the other side where life is unsure, but God is sure. God is faithful. God is healing. God is helpful. God is our healer, our restorer. And God gives us forgiveness and mercy and grace to live in this life with peace. And so when they understood the importance of, you can be bitter if you want, or you can be better. You could have more joy. The outside surroundings will definitely seem more beautiful in that moment. But life will open up so much more. And you can step into a place of a newness, of new life, of new joy, new memories, new people, new relationships that are loving to you as well. Because sometimes we're a mirror of other people, are we not? So when you mirror out love, what's going to come back? Amazing. Or not. So they brought me after this card, and it's about pardoning for resentments and unforgiveness. And they said, I want you to do a sermon someday and pass this out to your congregation. I said, okay, when the day comes, I will. And the day has come. It says on here, you can read it again, but it says, I willingly forgive, and there's two lines, long lines. And then there's a thank you for God healing the wounds. It's a beautiful card. And on the other side, of course, there's scriptures. So we're not having communion this morning. We're having card passing out. I brought plenty. They're on the altar. As each of you come forward as the sermon ends, take one, two, three, as many as you want. I've got more in the office. But take them and pray about it. And willingly forgive. And if you want to put your own name on that too, as a person you forgive, that would be okay. If you want to know how to spell my name, I'll gladly tell you. I want you to enjoy the rivers of life. I want you to look and feel your best without even having to pay $27 for some stuff you put in your coffee. This is a free gift given to you. But you have to take it. You have to do it. But guess what? You can do it any time of day or night. Add it to your life. Add more and more and more and more. And before you know it, you'll just be a person that's free of all that stuff. And the water of living Christ will flow out of you to refresh the lives of others. And your life as well will be refreshed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most loving God, we thank you for this message this day. I pray, God, that each and every one of us take it to heart, understanding that bitterness is something that holds us all back from a relationship with you and one another. We know that you gave the supreme sacrifice, Lord Jesus, and took our punishment and the punishment of all people so that they could be forgiven, and we are forgiven, Lord. And we then in turn now give the same forgiveness to others and ourselves as well, God, so we can be a refreshing spring where people find love, peace, joy, and all that you are from us, the living water that runs through us, God. Let us be salt to people, God, so that they too can find peace. In Jesus' name, amen.